You have your Bibles, turn if you please to our text this morning, Daniel chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27. As we continue in our series, Here Comes the Sun, Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 24. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, and I just thank you, Lord, for the warning you give us about the tribulation time that's coming. How much, Lord, we need to be trusting you so that we get out of here in the rapture before the tribulation starts. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Sunday night, Scott Pelley was given another softball interview to Joe Biden on 60 Minutes. And after he asked Joe Biden if he was really wanting to run for the White House again and why, this is what Joe Biden said.
Mr. President, given these two wars and the dysfunction in Congress, are you sure that you want to run again?
Yes, because I'm sure. Look, when I ran, I said the world's at an inflection point. The world's changing. But we have an opportunity to make it. So imagine if we were able to succeed in getting the Middle East put in place where we have normalization of relations. I think we can do that. Imagine what happens if we, in fact, unite all of Europe and Putin is finally put down where he cannot cause the kind of trouble he's been causing. We have enormous opportunities to make it a better world.
Oh, yeah. Open borders, sky-high prices, queering our kids, on the brink of three world wars. Joe Biden has already made everything so much better. Another 4 years, it's going to be so nirvana, we're not even going to be able to stand it. Folks, I got to tell you, in these last days, Joe Biden isn't going to make anything better. Because after the rapture, it's going to be hell on earth, the likes of which our world has never seen before or since, because that is the very next thing on God's timeline for the end times. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Here Comes the Sun, looking at all the major events on God's plan for the last days, leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So far in this series, we've looked at the first two things on the timeline, and that's the church age and the rapture of the church. And today we look at the next thing in line, and that's called the tribulation. And to see that, we turn today to Daniel chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27. In this part of Daniel chapter 9, Daniel is giving us a framework for the timing of the last days. And in our text today, he tells us what's coming after the rapture is something called the tribulation. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're going to understand the tribulation. We need to understand why we don't want to go through it and what we need to do in order to make sure we don't. Our text this morning, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, tells us three things that we need to understand about the tribulation so we'll get out of here in the rapture before the tribulation even starts. And let's look and see what those three things are.
Mr. President,
first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about the tribulation, it's all about Israel. And that's exactly what Daniel's telling us here in verses 24 through the first part of verse 26. Push comes to shove. It's not about the United States of America. It's not about Russia and Ukraine. It's not about China and Taiwan. It's all about Israel. It's not about the new royal couple, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's not about Will and Jada Pinkett Smith and their open marriage. Verse 24, it's about your people, Daniel's people, the Jewish people. End times Bible prophecy is all about Israel. And that is exactly what Daniel is telling us here. Daniel writes this 600 years before the birth of Christ. And he's telling us everything that's going to happen in the end times is all about what happens to Israel. Verse 24. 77s are decreed. And a 7 here is what's called a Jewish sabbatical week. So 1 week is 7 years. 70 weeks times 7 years is 490 years. A 490 year period to fulfill all end times Bible prophecy. Verse 25. From the time the decree was issued to rebuild the city of Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, there will be 7 sevens and 62 more sevens. 62 plus 7 is 69 sevens, 483 years. That decree was issued by Persian King Artaxerxes, March 14th, 445 B.C. Then after that, there were 7 sevens when Jerusalem was rebuilt, then another 62 sevens. For the Messiah would come, and notice, then he would be cut off, but not for himself. So 483 years, figuring a 360-day Jewish year, is 173,440 days. From the time the decree was issued, March 14th, 445 B.C., tell them a Messiah would come, 173,440 days later, what do you know? That was April 6, 33 A.D., Palm Sunday, when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem as the Messiah. Prophecy fulfilled to the very day. Prophecy fulfilled to the very letter. And what happened after that? The Messiah was cut off. But not for himself. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, but not for his own sin, for the sins of the whole world. Prophecy fulfilled to a T. Just exactly like Daniel says right there in your Bible. And then notice, verse 26, there's a gap. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. That was fulfilled when Romans came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And notice verse 26, there's no mention of a seven. There's a pause here between Daniel's 69th and 70th week, which means there's another week coming. There's another 7 year period coming. That's the tribulation. Daniel's 70th week is still to come. The pause is the church age that we're living in right now, waiting for the tribulation that starts with the rapture. And you say, Kevin, Daniel doesn't say anything about the rapture here. Of course not, because the rapture is for Christians. And the vast majority of Jewish people are not Christians. So they're not going to go up there. They're going to stay down here. End times Bible prophecy is all about Israel. And there's two huge mistakes that Christians make today when it comes to end times Bible prophecy. The first one is called preterism. The idea that all end times Bible prophecy was already fulfilled when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. Rapture? No. Millennium? No. Armageddon? No. Tribulation? No. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff because that all took place in 70 AD. Famous preacher and teacher R.C. Sproul was a preterist. And folks, the idea that all end times prophecy was fulfilled back in 70 AD, where does it say that in the Bible? Was there an Antichrist and a mark in the beast back in 70 AD? Did Jesus come out of the sky on a white horse in 70 AD? Of course not. If all end times Bible prophecy was already fulfilled 70 AD, then what hope do we Christians have in the absolute mess that we're in right now? None. Preterism is a joke. The other big mistake that Christians make today with end times Bible prophecy is called replacement theology. This silly idea that Christians have replaced the Jews and the church has replaced Israel and God's plans for the end times. John Piper is replacement theology. And he teaches that when the Jews rejected Jesus, God turned his back on the Jewish people forever. And then took all the promises that God made to the Jews and then transferred to the church. Again, where in the Bible does it say that? It doesn't. The Old Testament literally has hundreds and hundreds of verses that promise the Jewish people there will be a worldwide kingdom of Israel in the last days. And if God breaks His promises to the Jews, how in the world can we trust that God's not going to break His promise to us Christians? AOC, of all people, said this: what's driving all the problems in the Middle East is this stupid Christian fundamentalism idea that Israel is still some kind of chosen country. But that's not true, because Israel today no longer has God's blessing. The Israel of the Bible is not the same as Israel today. That's replacement theology. The Catholic Church and Martin Luther preached replacement theology, and Adolf Hitler read every single dirty word that Martin Luther said about the Jewish people. And look what happened in World War II as a result. Ideas have consequences, and bad ideas have bad consequences. For crying out loud once and for all, Romans chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, has God rejected the Jewish people? Absolutely not. By no means. If you're listening to this sermon, another congregation, your pastor's preaching replacement theology, you get out of that church as fast as your little legs can carry you before the curse of Genesis 12:3 falls and takes you out too. It's all about Israel. Bible prophecy is all about Israel. It's about the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem and the temple mount and the valley of Armageddon in Israel. Every single end times prophecy in your Bible was written by a Jew. You say, but Kevin, the vast majority of Jewish people are not saved. Exactly. When the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, God hit the pause button on the Jewish people. Paul says, Romans chapter 11, verse 25, right now, Israel is experiencing a hardening until the full number of Gentiles come in. Then after the rapture of the church, when all the church is taken out of here, God is going to hit the play button again and going to deal with the Jewish people again all throughout the rest of the end time. It's all about Israel. It's all about Israel, folks. Too bad Joe Biden doesn't understand that. Because Donald Trump sure did. President Donald Trump was in the White House. He did all kinds of incredible things for Israel. He canceled President Obama's Iran nuke deal that was helping the mullahs go ballistic. Cut off all the funding to the Palestinians, money that was being used to fund terrorism against the Jewish people. President Donald Trump was the first U.S. president in history to formally acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people and not the Palestinian people. And because of that, he moved the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in 2017, giving Israel a lot more street cred. President Trump was the first sitting president in U.S. history to pray at the Western Wall. President Donald Trump, along with his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, purposely bypassed all the terrorists and all the Palestinians with what they called the Abraham Accords and got treaties signed between Israel and all kinds of Muslim nations that never acknowledged Israel's right to exist before. And because of that, those countries are not mentioned in the Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the battle that's going to take place in the last days against Israel. And why? Because even though Ezekiel wrote that prophecy 2,600 years ago, the Holy Spirit knew that Donald Trump was going to come along in 2020 with the Abraham Accords. God even used that man to fulfill Bible prophecy for Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu called him the new King Cyrus. There are coins used in Israel today that have Donald Trump's images on them. There are towns in the Golan Heights even named after him, for crying out loud. And what's the result of that for America? Because I got a memory. Greatest economy in the history of this country. Gas was $1.89 a gallon. There were no genderqueer unicorns, peace in the Middle East, and pretty much peace all over the world. Then Joe Biden came along. First week in office, resurrected the Iran nuke deal and turned on the spigot for more money for the Palestinians and for terrorism. Joe Biden purposely waited 9 months to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu the very first time. Last year, the Biden administration tried everything they could to keep Benjamin Netanyahu from getting reelected. And worst of all, they took Donald Trump's Abraham Accords and added the godforsaken two-state solution to it because Joe Obama is hell-bent on getting Israel to give up land to create a Palestinian state. And last October the 7th, when Hamas terrorists murdered 1,300 Jews in Israel, Joe Biden couldn't be bothered because he was having a barbecue and a live band on the South Lawn for the White House staff. I could go on and on and on. And what's the result? Iran is this far away today from having a nuclear missile. Israel's under attack from every side. Our borders are open. Our boys think they're girls. And gas in California is $6 a gallon. And why is this happening? Because it's all about Israel. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. It's all about Israel. Just exactly like the Bible says. First thing we need to understand about the tribulation. It's all about Israel. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about the tribulation. It's not just about Israel. It's also about desolations. And that's also what Daniel's telling us here, the second part of verse 26. Desolations have been decreed. Now, where are us Christians during this whole 7-year tribulation time? We're raptured up. My honeymoon with Sue, we went to Niagara Falls. Church's honeymoon with Jesus, we're going to heaven. For the wedding reception, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bible calls it. And even if they don't have a cupcake bar or a chocolate fountain up there, we're still going to be dancing around the throne and partying our brains out. And also 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be standing before the Bema judgment seat of Christ because Jesus is going to pass out rewards for all the good things we've done from the kingdom. How many crowns are you going to get? That's during the tribulation up there. But down here, it's going to be hell on earth. Because God is going to pour out holy hell judgments on this world. And He's going to take the leash off the devil. And use the devil to punish the Jewish people and unbelieving Gentiles too. And why is it going to be such a hellscape down here? Because right now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7 says the Holy Spirit is holding back evil. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit. Holding back a whole lot of really bad things. But when the rapture comes and the Holy Spirit's not working here like He once did, and all us Christians, the temples of the Holy Spirit are taken out of this world, it is going to be Katie bar the door, just like that dam you see there in the video. Holy Spirit taken out, the rapture comes, all the evil in the whole wide world goes gushing out. The restrainer is gone. August 23rd, 1944, when the Allies were encircling in France, Adolf Hitler gave the order to his German occupying army to destroy the city of Paris and everything in it. Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame Cathedral, Sacre Coeur, the Louvre Museum, everything. Hitler said if he couldn't have the city of Paris, nobody would have it. But his two field generals on the ground in Paris, Friedrich von Kollitz and Walther Model, ignored the order and never carried it out. And because of that, we still have those incredible landmarks in Paris today. And those two Germans were not Christians. They were Nazis. That's the restraining power of the Holy Spirit holding back evil. Amen. See the cop? Barely escaping death in the video. That's the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. Holding back evil. There's people listening to the sermon right now sitting right in this church. You're not a Christian. What are you going to do when the rapture takes us Christians out of here? What kind of world are you going to be living in? Now, bad things are still going to happen because we live in a fallen world. But just think how much worse it's going to be when the Holy Spirit is not here to put a cap on it. Right now, NASA tells us that there is a ginormous asteroid out there. They call it Apophis, 1,231 feet across. And it's not going to hit the earth, but next year it's going to come so close to earth, you can see it with the naked eye. It's called Apophis because Apophis in Greek means God of chaos. And if that bad boy did collide with this planet, it would be like 12,000 million tons of TNT exploding. People were talking about the end of life on earth as we know it. That hasn't hit us and will not hit us because of the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says during the tribulation, Revelation chapter 8, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit is taken out, that restraint is gone. A huge asteroid is going to hit planet Earth. And it's going to destroy 1/3 of all living things in the ocean and poison all the water. There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. What kind of world are you going to have when the rapture comes and the church and all of us Christians are taken out of here? There's people that listen to my sermons every single week so they can write me hate mail. The only thing I want to tell you this morning, you're really going to miss me when I'm gone. Yeah. You are really going to miss me when I'm gone. Because desolations have been decreed. And what's even scarier, all the different stages of the last days overlap each other. So we're already seeing that desolation coming over everything. You say, Kevin, none of the stuff in the Bible that talks about, that's not going to happen. People, it's already happening. We're already getting a preview right now of what's going to happen in the tribulation. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, there will be famine and pestilence. Right now, 2.4 billion people in our world do not have enough food and are starving to death. Last summer, biblical proportion clouds of grasshoppers all the way from Colorado to Texas, devastating all kinds of crops. Clouds of grasshoppers, swarms of grasshoppers, so huge, they showed up on weather radar. You talk about apocalyptic. You don't think we're this close to the tribulation? Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 says, during the tribulation, there will be deadly scorching heat that won't let up. Last July, record 31 straight days in a row, Phoenix, Arizona, temperatures over 110 degrees before it stopped. But see, the tribulation, it's not going to stop. And all the SPF in the whole wide world is not going to keep you from being burned alive. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8 says, in the tribulation, there will be a plague that will kill one-fourth of the population of this planet. That's 2 billion people, folks. And we're seeing it start right now. Diseases that we thought were eradicated, that we didn't have to worry about, are now coming back. Last summer, there were cases of leprosy in the state of Florida. CDC says there's another virus coming. They call it Disease X, with an 80% mortality rate. 8 out of every 10 people that get it are going to die. 15 million excess deaths from the clot shot, and millions more on the way. mRNA vaccines have killed and maimed and crippled gazillions of people all over the world. But instead of canceling it, what did they do last month? They took two scientists from Hungary and the United States and gave them a Nobel Prize for researching it. So instead of condemning it, they're celebrating it. The Bible says, Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 to 21, during the tribulation, they will not repent of their pharmakia, their deadly magic poison medicine. Don't tell me that's not exactly what's happening in our world right now. We're this close to the tribulation. Already getting previews. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, evil will increase. We saw that with what Hamas did to the Jewish people last October the 7th in Israel. Hamas terrorists took pregnant Jewish women, cut their bellies open, pulled the babies out, and then killed the babies in front of the moms before they killed the moms. Tied up Jewish parents and made them watch as the terrorists gouged out the eyes of their kids and cut their fingers off, tortured and screaming in front of them. Tied up Jewish families like kindling and set one on fire so that one would catch the other one on fire and then that one would catch the next one on fire. Like logs in a fire pit. My God, people, that was the devil himself. You say, Kevin, you're making all of this stuff up. I do not have enough creativity in my body, mind, and soul to make up stuff like that. To tell you how bad the tribulation is going to be. Amos chapter 5, verse 18 says there won't be any getting away from it. Jesus said it is going to be so bad, Mark chapter 13, verses 19 and 20, if he didn't limit it to 7 years, nobody on earth would survive it. Amen. So you're listening to the sermon right now, you've got a choice to make. You want to spend the next 7 years in heaven with Jesus? You want to spend the next 7 years hell on earth with the devil? Because if you don't want to spend 7 years with the devil on this earth, and you want to get out of here in the rapture, you've got to do something. Amen. You've got to confess your sin to God. You've got to put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. Right. And you've got to ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. Right. What are you going to do when the Holy Spirit's gone? Amen. The Bible says, Revelation chapter 9, verse 2, God's going to open the abyss during the tribulation. And gazillions of demons are going to come out. And I hope you like scorpions. Because demonic scorpions, the size of horses, are going to be running wild and tormenting people. You thought the flying monkeys in the Wizard of Oz were bad. Those demon spirits are going to be running free range. We see that now. Last month, another UFO spotted over Scottsdale, Arizona. fallen angels, demon spirits, warming up, gearing up for the grand performance during the tribulation. Demon spirits running wild. Video you see on the screen shows what a doorbell camera picked up one night at a house in West Virginia. See the other images picked up by doorbell cameras all over America? Things come up to people's houses in the middle of the night. Look at that. People, that's not human. What in the literal hell is that? Something wicked. This way comes. The closer and closer we get to the tribulation, the more and more the devil is proven out. Started last winter. Sam Smith and Kim Petras sang that song, Unholy, at the Grammy Awards. Dressed like the devil. And Rihanna at the halftime show of the Super Bowl, dancing on a platform like the devil, being kicked out of heaven down to earth. After school Satan clubs popped up all over the country. Boston, Massachusetts hosted Satan Con, where devil worshipers from all over the place came and bashed everything holy and Christian and godly. Because in these last days at the end of the church age, more and more people are thumbing their nose at God and turning to the devil like nobody's business. We see the devil working overtime in the communities around here, around Fox River. Last October the 14th, that little town of Sheridan over there hosted another witches' night out. Yesterday, Marsales had a witches and warlock walk downtown. The town of LaSalle hosted Ghouls Night Out with real mediums and fortune tellers and a group called the Hocus Pocus Hags, whoever in the world they are. IVCC in Oglesby is now celebrating the Day of the Dead, where people build altars and memorials to dead loved ones. Here's what the Ottawa paper said about it. The public is invited to contribute to the memorials by bringing photos of loved ones who have passed and offerings of non-perishable foods and sealed drinks to nourish and enrich those who are gone. Dead people don't eat or drink anything. Right. Folks, we didn't see demonic claptrap like this even 5 years ago. The closer and closer we get to the tribulation, the more and more the devil is promoting himself. Right. And the more it's considered normal. Right. Families wouldn't go to stuff like that with a gun to their head when I was growing up. Towns would have never even allowed it to happen. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, do not give the devil a foothold. The Bible says have absolutely nothing to do with the occult or Halloween or ghosts or witches or demons or zombies, because real demons can use those things to get a foothold in your life and screw you up royal. And everybody and their brother tells me, Kevin, people are just doing it for fun. But the problem is the devil doesn't play for fun. The devil plays for keeps. 42 years of ministry, I've dealt with more real witches and demons than Harry Potter ever has. Back in 1990, I was substitute teaching for a week at a high school in Iroquois County. And there's a 14-year-old girl in that school who was a real witch. Hair was dyed jet black, emphasized everything on the left side of her body like Satanists and witches do, had the hair pulled off the left side of her forehead, fingernails painted black on her left hand, the whole nine yards. And kids at that school told me she cast spells on people. He would put curses on people. Well, I always took a Bible with me when I was substitute teaching. That girl walked in that class Monday morning. She saw the Bible there on the desk in front of me. She said, you were a Christian? I said, absolutely. And she said, well, then you're a loser because your God is a loser. Your God is dead and you're going to be dead too. And she walked over and sat down in her seat and just started saying that over and over again. Your God is dead and you're going to be dead too. Freaking out all the other kids around her. Tuesday morning, the next day, she walked in, did exactly the same thing. She said, your God is dead, and you're going to be dead too. And she sat down in her seat and started laughing, this really creepy laugh, like a 70-year-old man growling. I thought, I've had enough of this. Wednesday morning, she walked in the very next day. She said, your God is dead, and you're going to be dead too. And she dropped a piece of paper on my desk. It was a note that she'd written to me. And this is what it said. Hail, Lord Lucifer. My God and his forces will take you out soon. Your God is dead, and you're going to be dead too by the hand of Satan. She was trying to put a curse on me. He said, well, Kevin, were you scared? Are you kidding me? 42 years of ministry, I've been cursed more than the Chicago Cubs. I am a born-again, spirit-filled child of the living God, and because of that, absolutely no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That girl got out of her seat. She walked up to me and she said, did you read my note? And in a voice that only she could hear, none of the other kids, I said this, sit down. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, sit down, shut up, come out of her, and peace be still. In the name of Jesus. She walked back to her seat, sat there, stared at the floor, never said boo, never moved a muscle for the rest of the class period. The last 2 days of that week, she walked into class, never came up to me, never looked at me. She walked right over her seat, sat with her head down, never said a word, never moved a muscle. And wasn't freaking out the kids around. And you know why that happened? Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's the power that Jesus gives us. The power of the Holy Spirit to restrain evil and to hold it back. There's people sitting in this church listening to the sermon right now. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. Let me ask you, what are you going to do? What in the world are you going to do when you miss the tribulation and you're caught down here in this creep show and the devil and his demons are going carnival freak crazy on you and there's no church and there's no Christians and there's no Holy Spirit to come against it and stand against it and cast it out? What are you going to do? I'll tell you, the devil is going to be all over you like ugly on ape. Amen. So today, the nanosecond this service is over, you come to the front of this church and you give your life and your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ so you can get out of here in the rapture and get away from the destruction and the death and the desolation and all the demonic hocus pocus before it even gets started. The second thing we need to understand about the tribulation, it's all about desolation. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about the tribulation. It's not only about Israel. It's not only about desolation. Third, it's about the Antichrist. And that's also what Daniel's telling us here in verse 27. After hundreds of millions of people have been raptured off this planet and are missing all over the place, and the battle of Gog and Magog has absolutely destroyed the Muslim world, everything is going to be up for grabs. And everybody and their brother is going to be clamoring for somebody to come along and fix it. A man with a plan. That's the Antichrist. In verse 27, Daniel tells us here exactly what he's going to do. He will confirm a covenant with Israel. Notice, not create one, confirm one. So that covenant will already be existing. Because that covenant is the two-state solution of Joe Biden. Donald Trump's Abraham Accords with a two-state solution attached to it that forces Israel to give up land for a Palestinian state. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 15 calls it the covenant with hell because it will end up destroying Israel and the Jewish people. For the first 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation period, everybody will go gaga over the Antichrist and he'll make all the trains run on time. But then halfway through the tribulation, after the 3.5 years, he will reveal himself for who he really is, a tool of the devil. And Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, he will set up an image of himself in the temple in Jerusalem, the abomination that causes desolation. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he will claim to be God and the only God there is. And then he will unleash hell on the Jewish people, which is why the second half of the tribulation is usually technically called the Great Tribulation. But notice, there will be a temple, a third temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation period. Right now, an outfit called the Temple Society has already made all the instruments, all the utensils, all the robes for the priests. Everything that's necessary for that temple to operate has already been made. Saudi Arabia has already offered Israel. They will build them that temple. They will even pay for it if Israel signs off on the two-state solution. See what's coming? And the Antichrist will force everybody all over the whole wide world to worship that image. Or they'll be killed. And how's everybody all over the world going to be able to see that image and worship it at the same time? Artificial intelligence. How's the Antichrist going to be able to make that statue move and speak like Revelation chapter 13 says? Artificial intelligence. How's the Antichrist going to know anybody else in the world that doesn't worship him? Artificial intelligence. AI surveillance cameras today can scan 1 million different faces in 1/10 of a second. The Antichrist is going to have no problem whatsoever weeding out the malcontents. And the trillion-dollar question that everybody is asking, who is that Antichrist? Well, just remember, He's not going to come trying to look like the devil. If the Antichrist comes, deception. Number one characteristic of the last days is deception. And we see it everywhere right now. Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. We got deception all around us. We're told right now that patriotism is fascism. Free speech is a threat to our democracy. Abortion is health care. We're told that cutting off the penises and breasts of little boys and girls is compassion. But even worst of all, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 says, during the tribulation, God will send a powerful delusion. Deception comes from the devil. Delusion comes from God. Because you reject the truth so many times, time after time after time, God's going to flip a switch so that you will believe the lie. Our world today is filled to busting with people who are not only deceived, they're delusional. Because they refuse to believe the truth and get saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. See the woman right there? Has a t-shirt on that says, thank God for abortion? That's delusional. See the man right there dressing and trying to look like a woman because he thinks he's a woman? That's delusional. And the worst delusion of all, in the tribulation, people will believe that the Antichrist is really Jesus Christ. They're believing that already. See the video. This is AI Jesus, artificial intelligence Jesus.
So let us all come together to listen, learn, and allow the light within us to shine brightly so we may support and uplift one another.
Fake as lab-grown chicken. But even though that AI Jesus is telling people right now that the devil is gracious and compassionate and that Islam is the only true faith there is, millions and millions of people all over the world are already worshiping that thing and praying to that thing. Amen. Jesus said, in the last days, many will come in my name saying, I am he. Do not be deceived. The Antichrist is all about deception. And of course, the question everybody wants to know, who is the Antichrist? And remember, he doesn't come trying to look like the devil with horns and hooves and a pitchfork. He comes trying to look like God. Very smart, very popular, very attractive. How about French President Emmanuel Macron? He has five names. Five in the Bible is the number of judgment. His first name is Emmanuel. That means God with us. Second name is Jean. That means the Lord is gracious. His third name is Michelle. That means who is like God. Fourth name is Frederick. That means peaceful ruler. His last name is Macron, which in French means mark, like mark of the beast. Emmanuel Macron won his last election with 66.6% of the vote. And when he won that election, he went to the Palace of Versailles, the Palace of Kings, and sat in the king's chair and told the world he wanted to rule over the planet like the god Jupiter. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5 said the Antichrist is not only going to be Roman, he's also going to be Assyrian. Emmanuel Macron's genealogy, he's not only Roman, he's also Assyrian. And he says he wants to start a new United Nations, a new confederation of 10 nations. He wants to raise up a European army and lead it himself. And last September, he skipped the United Nations so that he could meet with globalist King Charles and the false prophet, Pope Francis, in their own confab to how to rule the world. The world is getting ready for the Antichrist and the coming of the tribulation. With the Antichrist comes one world government and one world economy. Based on the mark of the beast that the Antichrist will force everybody to get in either their right hand or their forehead. And that will control every single aspect of everybody's life because it will control their buying and selling. Today we know that mark of the beast is a human implantable microchip that Big Brother wants to put in your body. It will have all your personal information, all your financial information on it. It will be connected to the internet. And with digital currency, it will control every single aspect of your life. Because if Big Brother doesn't like the way you're living, you don't toe the party line, he flips the switch, and all your money is gone. The Antichrist is going to install what? A cashless society. What do we see in America right now? Cashless society. 80% of all transactions in America last year were digital. People paying with their phone or a swipe of their hand because they've already had a microchip implanted inside of them. It's coming. All the technology the Antichrist is ever going to need to control every single aspect of everybody's life all over the world is already here. And right there is the platform he's going to use to take over. This coming September 2024, 2 months before the presidential election, United Nations is going to have their summit of the future when every country in the world is going to sign away their national sovereignty and all the rights and freedoms of all of their citizens to the World Health Organization so that they can take over when the next global pandemic comes along or whenever they tell Dr. Fauci to release another virus. Who's in control of the WHO right now? That would be the Chinese Communist Party. Who's the biggest donor to the World Health Organization right now? That would be Bill Gates of hell. It's coming, people. Just exactly like the Bible says. But see, there's an even bigger sign than that. Telling us that we're this close to the tribulation. And you better hurry up and see it. Because it is getting closer and closer and closer by the second. Amen. 2 weeks, just 2 weeks after the worst terrorist attack in the world since 9/11, when black-hearted Hamas terrorists murdered 1,300 Jewish people in cold blood in Israel, everybody and their brother is now slamming the Jews. Last Tuesday, the Palestinians reported that IDF fired a rocket that destroyed a hospital and killed 500 people in Gaza. And without even checking the source, of course, immediately, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSLSD ran with the story and reported it as fact. Then the very next day, come to find out it was proven that rocket was fired by Islamic Jihad. And it didn't even hit a hospital, it hit a parking lot, and nobody was killed. But in spite of that, CNN kept running the story that IDF fired a rocket that killed 500 people in a hospital in Gaza for 3 days. Didn't matter if it was true. College students all over America right now, from Berkeley to Harvard, cheering for Hamas and the murder of more Jewish people. Last week, Representative Rashida Tlaib led hundreds and hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters to break into the U.S. Capitol building and stop a session of Congress. So the FBI right now is going to go after Rashida Tlaib and all those protesters and arrest them for insurrection like they did the protesters on January the 6th, right? Of course not. Don't hold your breath. Jew hater Ilhan Omar tweeted out pictures right away of babies killed by IDF in Gaza from missile strikes. The only problem was those pictures were actually pictures of babies that were killed by Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad back in 2013 from sarin gas. It didn't matter that she lied because everybody knows that the Jews are the real problem, right? Israel taking a beating all over the world. Anti-Semitic posts up 1,200% on social media all over the planet. Anti-Israeli protests. Toronto, London, Paris, all over Europe, all over the Middle East, all over Asia, from Baghdad to Amman, from Jakarta to Islamabad, and everywhere in between. And you know what the United Nations did? 2 days after those terrorist attacks in Israel, the United Nations asked every member country to stand up for a moment of silence in honor of the Palestinian people who were killed in the attack on October the 7th. Not one word, not one thing said or done to honor the Jewish people who were killed in the terrorist attack on October the 7th. And right now the United Nations is in the process of censuring Israel for war crimes in Gaza. The United Nations has censored the country of Israel more than all other countries in the entire United Nations combined. Do you see what the world thinks of Israel? See what the world thinks of God's chosen people? And look at the situation that Israel's in right now. Under attack from Hamas in the southwest, Hezbollah's firing rockets from them from Syria and Lebanon. The Taliban has threatened to invade Israel from Afghanistan. Iran right now is building an airport in southern Lebanon just 20 miles away from the Israeli border on the Golan Heights. And this couple of days, Iran will have a functioning nuclear missile. Both Russia and China have told Israel if they don't stop fighting in Gaza, they're going to jump in on the side of the terrorists. Do we see what's happening? The entire Middle East is blowing up in their face. You see the noose around Israel's neck just getting tighter and tighter and tighter? And who's putting the most pressure on the nation of Israel? That would be the United States of America. Because Joe Biden and all the other Obamanoids in his administration are convinced that it's the Jewish people who are the terrorists. Last week, Joe Biden and Tony Blinken flew to Israel and spent 7.5 hours with Benjamin Netanyahu. And you know why? Not only to stall for the savages, to give Hamas more time to win the PR war, but to tell Benjamin Netanyahu if Israel wants support from America, they can't do this and they can't do that in the war in Gaza. Joe Biden even told Benjamin Netanyahu not to reoccupy Gaza. It's Israel's land to start with. And why is it Joe Biden's business how Israel conducts a war? And then when Joe Biden got back to Washington, D.C., he gave Palestinians another $100 million for terrorism. And he still hasn't stopped all the Iranian billions of dollars in accounts here in America. And he still will not say that Hamas is a terrorist organization. People, this is insane. And you know why he's doing it? Because Joe Biden has been pushing for a Palestinian state in Israel every single time he took office. Israel give up land to create a Palestinian state. That would mean pushing all the Jews out of the West Bank and 400,000 Jews giving up their homes. That would mean Israel giving up Jerusalem and 200,000 Jews being kicked out of their homes. And Israel giving the Golan Heights to the Palestinians, which would be military suicide for Israel. Folks, there can be no two-state solution when one state wants the other state dead. And yet last Thursday night, Joe Biden even said that in his speech again because Joe Biden wants a legacy. My gosh, people, what a despicable human being. The whole world's going up in flames. Aren't you glad Joe Biden's in control? Everybody and his brother is hating on the Jews and wanting a Palestinian state. And Benjamin Netanyahu swears up and down, Israel will never, ever, ever, ever give up the city of Jerusalem. Amen. Do we see what's happening here? Tensions getting higher every day. More and more countries jumping in every day. The entire world's focus on the nation of Israel. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, on that day, I will make Jerusalem a cup that will cause all the nations of the world to go reeling. Folks, it's happening. It's happening right now in front of our very eyes. Just exactly what the Bible says. Just exactly what Bible prophecy says is going to happen after the rapture, during the tribulation. You see it. We see it in real time. Every time you look at the news, every time you pick up your phone, just exactly like the Bible says. Tribulation is this close. The rapture is even closer. Because Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 20, when you see all the army, enemy armies of the world surrounding Jerusalem, look up. Look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. There's two kinds of people listening to this sermon right now. First of all, there's Christians. Here we are in the last days, at the end of the church age. This close to the tribulation, the scariest, most horrific time in the history of the whole wide world. And I am telling you, Christians, today, you do not be afraid of anything. God told us this time was coming. He told us exactly why we're going to be here. He told us exactly what's going to happen during the tribulation. He told us exactly how bad it's going to be. And He knows exactly when it's going to end. And verse 27, when all His purposes are said and done, He will pour out on the devil and his demons and the Antichrist all that has been decreed for them. They're going to get everything that's coming to them. God is in control. God is on the throne. Heaven does not panic. God never calls 911. God never has a cow. His sovereignty is your security. God's not worried. We're not worried. All is well. But there's unbelievers listening to this sermon right now. For you, all is not well. And there is no security. And you have no control. Because any second now, Christians and the church are going to be taken out of this world. And you're going to be stuck down here in the great tribulation. Trouble the likes of which the world has never seen before or since, Jesus said. And you're going to be stuck down here to fight the Antichrist all by yourself. Good luck with that. The church won't be here. This preacher won't be here to preach sermons to you. Christians will not be here at Fox River to hold your hand and to pray with you. Because we'll be gone. You say, well, Kevin, I didn't get saved the first time. I can get saved during the tribulation, right? I can get saved then. Well, yeah, you can, but you'll be killed for it. Most likely beheaded. And let me ask you a question. If you can't get saved now, when it's not costing you anything, how in the world are you going to get saved during the tribulation when it's going to cost you everything?
Yes.
Today is the day of salvation. The nanosecond this church service is over with, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front up here, and we will pray. And you give your life and your heart and your soul to Jesus Christ. You can make sure you know where you stand in these last days. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you, Lord. We look around and so many people are wondering what's going on. We know what's going on because you've revealed it to us in Scripture. And I pray, Lord, in these last days, we would not be scared. Our confidence more than ever before would be in you. You are in control. But I pray for somebody today who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, somebody who is not saved. They don't have that relationship with you. I just pray, Lord, you would move in their hearts and speak to them. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just do the work that we Christians cannot do on our own. You just bring them to yourself today. Just thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You are with us even to the very end of the world and beyond. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.
I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more light. Now I'm so happy. Sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I couldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night.
Sing it now.
I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I am dancing. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Well, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness.
Go in peace. you're here today and you're not saved, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is an opportunity for you. Maybe you've been thinking about it for years and years, maybe a couple of days, maybe weeks. Maybe you've got questions about whether or not you know the Lord in a personal way. Just come forward and ask and we'll pray. If you have any needs whatsoever, come forward this morning. We believe in laying on of hands. We believe in anointing of oil. God has done amazing things up here.
Yes.
Otherwise, go in peace.
Yes.